From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns concludes his third message in a series of studies entitled Life in the Spirit, an examination of Galatians chapter 5, where in verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul sets forth the nine elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. In the current message, Dr. Cairns has begun to deal with the individual elements of the fruit of the Spirit in a message entitled Love, the First Fruit of the Spirit in the Life of the Christian. As we've seen, love is not only first in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, it is the sum of all the others. In producing this virtue, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the love of God for us by pointing us to Calvary, the greatest expression of God's love in the sacrifice of His blessed Son. It is as we grasp the reality of the love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for us that our hearts well up in gratitude for this incomprehensible love. This comes about only as we maintain constant fellowship with Christ in the Word and in prayer. In this way, the Holy Spirit will begin to help us love as God loves, something that will affect every area of our lives, especially our dealings with others. Then we see the motive for loving, to bring glory to God. The operation of the Holy Spirit makes this love the source of all the virtues that follow. Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Heavenly Wealth. The text is Psalm 84 and verse 11. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Many pleasing things the Lord may withhold, but no good thing. He is the best judge of what is good for us. Some things are assuredly good, and these we may have for the asking through Jesus Christ our Lord. Holiness is a good thing, and this He will work in us freely. Victory over evil tendencies, strong tempers, and evil habits He will gladly grant, and we ought not to remain without it. Full assurance He will bestow, and near communion with Himself, and access into all truth, and boldness with prevalence at the mercy seat. If we have not these, it is from want of faith to receive, and not from any unwillingness of God to give. A calm, a heavenly frame, great patience, and fervent love, all these will He give to holy diligence. But note well that we must walk uprightly. There must be no cross purposes and crooked dealings, no hypocrisy nor deceit. If we walk foully, God cannot give us favors, for that would be a premium upon sin. The way of uprightness is the way of heavenly wealth, wealth so large as to include every good thing. What a promise to plead in prayer! Let us get to our knees.
Satan's weights would pull me down, the Savior guides my way.
My steps are measured by His word,
a firm foundation He has laid. I want to stand on higher ground, to know His voice, the sweetest sound. Turning back, I'm heaven bound, for it lifts me up to higher ground.
strength I find on higher ground, above the world's allure.
He marks my path and points my way. In Christ alone I am secure. I want to stand on higher ground, to know His voice, the sweetest sound, the turning back I've ever found. Lord, lift me up to higher ground.
Lord, lift me up to higher ground. I want to stand on higher ground, to know His voice, the sweetest sound,
no turning.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the next issue is Roman Catholicism. The articles include The Papacy, The Church of Rome and Scripture, and The Church of Rome and Salvation. Also in this issue, Dr. Charles Barrett writes about Theodorus Frelinghuysen in an article called Bad Geography and the Beginning of an Awakening. In a feature article, the Reverend Timothy Nelson, editor of LTBS magazine, shares Mary's story from Rome to Christ. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we call your attention to a series of video features on that website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the gospel? What is the best way to study the Bible? And can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
William Booth used to say when he was serving the Lord in the slums of London, it was a waste of time for him to talk to a man about saving his soul and getting to heaven when he had an empty stomach and a naked body, and children at home without a bite in the cupboard or any money to buy it. And as somebody who was saved through the Salvation Army, I have a great respect for what William Booth had to say. Oh yes, there is all that. It's all very, very clear in Scripture. The Bible makes it clear that we cannot turn our eyes away from those things. But here's where the liberals have all gone wrong. They have made that the gospel. Now all that matters is look after the orphans, feed the needy, educate the uneducated. That's all that's needed. My friend, if those things are not a means to bring people, those very people, to Christ, they become a perversion of the gospel of Christ. The love of the Spirit is a redemptive love. We love how God loved. And we love why God loves, which is for His glory. We love sinners for the glory of God. Now that's going to put a whole new aspect in how you deal with sinners. I remember reading a story years ago that really challenged me. And there was a preacher in England who was doing his best to reach very needy people with the gospel, and with some success. But there was one particularly vile, filthy, smelly, drunken, down-and-out sinner that was very, very hard for him to get along with. What made it worse, as well as his bodily odors, there was his vile tongue, his obvious hatred of the preacher, his despising of all things spiritual. He was quite happy to have soup when he could get it, but he was not very happy to have the gospel. The preacher, many a time, with a heart that was churning within him with revulsion at every sound and every smell, the preacher told him of the love of God. And for his trouble, the old fellow cursed him. The preacher went away back to his room, and he got into his closet before God and began to pray for that man. Let's be honest, that's a lot more than most would have done. He got down to pray for that man, really to pray for him. And as he prayed, God challenged him. Have you given him the message of love? Well, Lord, I've told him you loved him. Well, I haven't asked you that. Let me ask you, do you love him? Well, I've told him about the cross, so surely I love him. No, no, do you love him? And the conscience was going on. Do you have any love for this man? Finally, he had to come to the realization that a lot of us honestly would have to come to. That we can go to sinners and tell them God loves them, while all the time there's very little reflection of that in our own lives. Finally, after long agony and prayer, God touched his heart for that stinking old sinner. When he went out and finally met him, he was just as smelly as before and just as obnoxious. But it was a new preacher who went to see him. Instead of standing at arm's length telling him God loved him, he went right up to him and he put his arm around him. And he told him of the love of Christ again, but this time he could look him in the eyes and honestly, before God, saying, I love you too. Reading Rod Bell's autobiography when he was building what is now Mount Calvary Baptist Church out in West Greenville, out City View. With his own life at times under threat. Going into the home where the husband cursed him and hated him. I suppose it takes you to be a Rod Bell to be able to do this. But the young Rod just went in and the old fella, fuming at him, he just put his arm around him and the big arm just pull him to him and tell him, no matter what you tell me, no matter what you say, I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm here to tell you of the love of God in Christ. God saved him. Why? Because God's people should love. How God loves and why God loves. For the glory of the Lord, even though the object is as filthy as can be. Now, this is the fundamental fruit of the Spirit in believers. As I've said, it's not yet perfect. We're not what we ought to be. This has been begun but not completed. But nonetheless, it's a real work, and it's basic to every other work. So why is this at the head of the list? Because that's where it belongs. It's the first thing the Holy Ghost does in the life of a Christian. I better hurry to the end and make this point that the Holy Ghost makes this love the antithesis and the answer to all the works of the flesh. That's why it's at the head of the list. We have read verses 19 through 21, the works of the flesh. And then we have read also about the flesh, even in a Christian lusting against the Spirit. Now, he comes to verse 22 and he makes love the first fruit of his work within us. Why? Well, clearly, because this love stands in opposition to all these things that have gone before it. You look down that awful list of things, and you'll find that they are all perversions of love in one form or another. You've got the perversions of domestic and marital love, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. The world dresses them up and makes them attractive and glittery, but they are perversions of love. Then you have a perversion of the love of God, idolatry and witchcraft. Then you have perversions of the love for the brethren, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. Then you have the perversion of the love of truth, heresies. The perversion of the love we should have for others, envyings and murders. And the perversions of the love that we ought to have for our own souls and for our own happiness, drunkenness and revelings and such like. Now understand this. All these stand in antithesis to love, and love stands in antithesis to them. If we had time to go down the list this morning, I can point out to you that failure in any one of these areas is not merely a failure of love to man, but it is a failure of love to the Lord. Why do people commit adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness? Well, you may say because they don't love their husbands or their wives enough. That is perfectly true. But if these people profess to be saved, the basic answer is they do not love the Lord enough. You see, the love of the Spirit stands in opposition to all these things, and therefore it is the answer to all these things, and it supplies the power to overcome all these things. If a man is struggling with any one of these perversions, what is the answer? Christ is the answer. Let that man know the love of Christ for him. Let his heart be stirred to love Christ reciprocally. And I tell you, that man will overcome in any one of these areas. You cannot live in immorality while you're in love with Christ. You cannot fall into wrath and emulation or envy or murder or hatred or any of these things if your heart is filled with love to Christ. You'll not only love God, you'll love sinners, you'll love the saints, you'll love your wife, you'll love your family. You will have a proper relationship in all these areas if but the love of the Spirit is growing in your heart. Oh, here's the answer to every lusting of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love. As Paul said in a slightly different connection, the love of Christ, his love for us preeminently, that stirs within us a love for him. The love of Christ constraineth us. There's no greater motivational power for a Christian to do right than to know the love of God for him and to have the love of God or to God stirred within him. When you know God's love for you and you have a love for God and you have a God-like love for others, you've got the answer to that whole list of perversions. That's why love stands at the top of the list. And finally, Paul puts it first, because the Holy Ghost makes this love the source of all the virtues that follow. We have a whole list of things here, 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. As I pointed out, they may well be taken as 3 threes. But however you look at them, every one of them is a direct result of the first one. Love produces joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. This stands at the top. The fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit, because it's the source, the proximate source of all these other virtues. Now that makes it mightily important. It tells me that we need the continual witness and work of the Holy Ghost within us. He will meet that need as we hear his word, as we heed his word, and as we walk according to his leading in his word. I trust this morning that there is not one of you to whom the Savior comes and says, "I know you," that you have not the love of the Father in you. I trust that is not your condition. If it is, you should get before your God and stay there, crying to him for mercy, to lead you to the cross, to embrace the love of God in Christ, to pass from death unto life. And if the love of the Father is in you, if the Spirit of God has brought you to the cross, then first of all, thank God you have the first fruit of the Spirit, but pray for its abundant growth. Pray for its profusion. We can never have too much of a good thing. We can never have too much of the first fruit the Holy Ghost, the love that will fashion our whole life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.